And we're looking around for grace and truth. You've heard people say, when they're talking about somebody that had something really bad happen to him, he said, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." This grace that Christ brought contained things like mercy and different things like that, but it's all built on the truth of God. So what I'm going to say now is God had a plan. And this plan had a multitude of items in it. And items on items. And they're still there. We still talk about them. But sometimes when we say we're going to have faith in God or faith in Christ, we don't stop to think that we're choosing one of those items, one of the things that he said he would do. And because he said he would do it, then it's true. But you know, that's not the way people go at things usually, is it? But we know that one of the things we realize, if we go to the book of Ether, and that's in this same book too. And in this book of Ether, it tells a story about the brother of Jared. And the brother of Jared was in a group that we read about that were swept off of this land. They killed each other down to the last man, and that last man went to meet a new group that had come here by the leadings of God. And he lived with them for 9 moons, they call it. 9 months, I presume. Well, the thing we have to realize, then while he was, this brother of Jared was about doing a lot of this work, he asked the brother of Jared, this messenger that came to him, that identified himself as a god. And as he did that, he went, he told him an awful lot of things. And as he told him these things, he finally told him,
"What's your reverence, sir? What's your reverence?"
Here, I got to the verse yet. In the first chapter, the whole first chapter of the book of Ether is containing most of the things that I'm talking to you about. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell the story. He told him who he was, and he asked him if he was going to believe him. And the brother of Jared gave him an answer that I think he expected, but it's something that we probably wouldn't have done. Because he asked him if he was going to believe what he told him. And the brother said, "Yes, yes." And he gave him the reason that he was going to believe him. And the reason was that he was a God of truth and he couldn't lie. So then he began to tell the brother of Jared what he was talking about. So this God of truth, he couldn't lie. And then a little bit later on, he identified himself a little bit further. He told him that his name was Jesus Christ and that he was the God of this land. Well, so now do we believe that? Can we prove it? No, we have faith in this Jesus Christ, that he's telling us the truth. And as we go through life, you know, sometimes you think because someone has had a spiritual experience and God has actually been considered enough of him to manifest things to him. And it begins to create an assurance within him that this God is real because he can feel his presence. And he makes him feel like he can have faith in God. So if this God tells him something is true or that he should go and teach a certain thing because he has heard this, he feels confident that it would be the right thing to do. So that's what we have faith in. We feel like this unseen God that we have, that Paul on Mars Hill told him that he was the creator of heaven and earth and everything in it. And we believe that also. But we believe it because we have faith in God that what he tells us is true. And if we have faith in God that what he tells us is true, then when we go and say this word or this phrase, having faith in Christ, because I'll say something else to you that I'd like to have you go to the scripture and see if it proves itself to you. Because that's what we're looking at. If Christ is who he says he is, then there's something that the word that we call the word of God has told us that he was going to do, and well, there's a bunch of things that he was going to do, but he was going to do, and that after he was resurrected, all the things he was going to do that is so important to us didn't get finished until after he was resurrected. So I would like to read that to you, and it's in the 7th chapter of Moroni, and I think I'll begin reading about verse 26, I believe it is. Yes, it starts out in verse 26. It says, "And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because that Christ has ascended into heaven and has sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry, and I'd like to emphasize this by stopping and calling your attention to that clause. Says the office of their ministry is. The angels has an office in a ministry of God. I didn't say it's an office in the Church of Christ. No, it's just what it says here. And let's don't put words here that are not there. And the office of their ministry is to call men into repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof, and after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. I hope you realize how important these words are to us, because as Christ has gone about this, and he claimed to the Father his right of mercy on the children of men, he set things in motion in the plan of God that made it so that you and I could repent of our sins, be baptized, and dedicate our lives to Christ, because you remember now, yes, many of you have your name recorded on the roll of this Church of Christ. But did you make that covenant with the church? No, the church is just part of that covenant. The one you made the covenant with was the Son of God. He is the one to whom we owe our allegiance. And his job turns out to be that he brings his Father's word to us. He is the thing prophesied of. I'll turn here to Deuteronomy. And it's the 18th chapter, if you're as slow as I am getting there. And I'll start reading at the 15th verse. The Lord, and Moses is told this, and he's repeating it to the children of Israel, that there's going to be somebody special he's going to tell them about. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. I emphasize that last clause or phrase. Unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and shall put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet, and then it goes on about the prophet that will presume to speak his word, and yet the things he says is not really his words. But this is the thing that I want you to recognize. And to kind of reinforce that, I'm going to turn now to third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And before I go on with this, this is Peter talking. And you know that, we know that Peter is the one that said he would just follow the Lord Jesus to death. He wouldn't do anything except hang on to him and bear his testimony. And the Lord Jesus told him, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. But the difference is, this Holy Ghost that it talked about, that was going to come forth, in the second chapter, it describes how the Holy Ghost came to them, according to what Christ had said earlier. You go there and you wait, and this is what you do, and then I'll meet you there. And the Holy Ghost fell on them like cloven tongues of fire. Well, there were some of them. Everybody says, you know, God can't make himself known or do this work if everyone in the room hasn't done all of their job and cleaned himself up so he can do that. Well, I'm not suggesting that you not do that. But what I'm going to tell you is, it doesn't matter if everyone has done that or not. If God has a thing he wants the people to know, the power of the Holy Ghost shall enter into that place and bear its witness of those things that God wants known, and they will know it. And in this third chapter of the Acts of the Apostle, Peter is telling, and this all came up because Peter and John went into the synagogue, and he said, well, I'll start reading into the first verse. It'll kind of describe the whole story. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat with alms, or rather for alms, at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them, or rather unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, my brethren, I would that though ignorance, or through ignorance rather, ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's what Christ's mission is. But there are requirements for each one of us. But according to what Jesus has said, and this is the thing we go back to, we must remember the scriptures as near as we can, exactly as they are written. Because leaving a word out here or there, or adding one here or there, will change the things and make it untrue. And when you've done that to it, then it's no longer God's word, even though you took it out of the book. We must stick by what God was saying. This is the prophecy here that I read to you. And a declaration of something that was going to occur. But now we know that an angel came and said these things. And that angels have duties. But I'd like to have us realize, I'm going to talk about one of the other things that I'd like to turn now to the 19th chapter of Alma to give us a prophecy, give us a thing that a man had been known or made known to him by an angel. I'll start reading here. I hope it's a good place to. But the 39th verse on page 448 in the 19th chapter of Alma. And while I'm reading this, and it's not no particular order to it, but I'm just reading and pointing out some things as examples that we have to realize. That God has set these things here for us to know what to prepare our souls and our thinking for. And in so doing this, it gives us a greater confidence in knowing, even though you don't know the day or the hour that this is going to happen, or exactly how you're going to feel when that happens, we're just given an idea in the best way that words can portray to us. But this is something that a man had, and this is a father, his name is Alma. He's the father of a boy or a man called Coriantin, who was his son. And this is just part of what he said. Verse 39. Therefore, there is a time appointed unto men that they shall rise from the dead, and there is a space between the time of death and resurrection. Now concerning this space of time, what becometh of the souls of men is the thing which I have inquired diligently of the Lord to know. And this is the thing of which I do know. When the time cometh, when all shall rise, then shall they know that God knoweth all the times which are appointed unto man. Now concerning this state of the soul between death and resurrection, behold, it hath made known unto me by an angel, that the spirits of all men, as soon as they depart from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all care and sorrow, etc. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord, for behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil hath entered into them and take possession of their house. And these shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. And this is the state of the souls of the wicked, yea, in darkness, in a state of awful, fearful looking for, of the fiery indignation of the wrath of God upon them. Thus, they remain in this state, as well as the righteous in paradise, until the time of the resurrection. Now, this was written, as near as we can figure, about 73 years before Christ came to in the prophecies and all as they were unfolded to the eyes of men. Now, the thing that this tells us is this bears a witness to the people who read it, that they may know that this can and will happen to me if I do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ have asked me to do. Do I have faith in him? Do I believe the things that he has said? Do I believe that I have to conduct myself and be honest to a fault? That's kind of an odd way to say that, isn't it? Because if a fault's always supposed to be wrong. But anyway, the thing that I want to emphasize is the care that we need to use. And it was said here this morning, I think that the incredible things that we had to eat this morning were the original soul food. Because that's what it was. We had it blessed and sanctified to the souls of all of those who would eat it or drink it. We need to think on these things like that. And now back to that covenant that we would have made to this Lord Jesus Christ. He said now to us, and gave us a testimony of his life that they've been trying to disapprove and alter history to make us believe something else. We have to recognize that he gave his life. He lived his life as an example to us that it could be done. And what he has presented to us, and I hope it becomes very clear and understandable and believable to us. He's presented to us that if you will promise me, if you will make a covenant with me and do the things that I ask you to do, be a totally honest person, live a righteous life, live a life that is according to my commandments. And I'm not taking all the time to read all the commandments tonight. But he's asked us to do this. And if he would do that, he would cause our sins to be washed away. And that the Holy Ghost would enter into us and purge and wrought upon our souls to cleanse it and reshape it with a new life. And in doing that, if we could really hang on to this by believing all of these things that he has said, then I'll go a step farther now to read out of the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. I think it's important that we understand, too. And this is another thing about the what we need to do about the angel. I'll get you a page in just a moment. It's 163. 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. Now this is after they've been baptized and after backing up to the end of the previous chapter, it says, Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come this far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. The merits of him. A merit, if my understanding is correct, one that has virtues or whatever you call it, within himself, so that he can do certain things because there's a certain power and greatness with him. Wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. So, see, this is what it's talking about all along. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. You know, we read the commandments. It's in the first great commandment, the first, the greatest, it's even called. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. Sometimes the word is just a hair different, but it's the same. The last chapter of the Book of Mormon tells us something else that fits into this so well that we need to call great attention to it. And I realize this is breaking into a thought again instead of reading the whole thing. I'll start reading in verse 29 on page 777. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. And how are you perfected in him? By the pattern that he has given through his plan of mercy that he went and claimed from his Father upon his resurrection. You can be perfected in him. That means you can be cleaned without stain. And now you come to the judgment bar, and all those things that you might have had restored to you will not be there to be restored because they have been forgiven and wiped away. So now in your judgment, you are given a clean slate and given the entrance through the plan of mercy and belief and adherence to the commandments of Christ. Do we have faith in Christ that this will happen? So we have to bring ourselves back to that every time. Just like when we go and we feel like we wanted to smash somebody in the mug and because he's done something, and we restrain ourselves, and we are reminded that was the thing that Jesus asked us to do, to restrain ourselves. That's kind of like this land of ours that we had the other day. We all are blessed enough. I'm not going to say lucky. I'm going to say we've been blessed enough to live here. And we got a bunch of things that people have done to change things, has made it so it's not quite as good as it might be. But there's still no other land, no other country on the face of this earth like this. It's not here. And we have to realize that and be thankful for it. And one of the methods of thankfulness that we show is looking to this Jesus Christ that we have dedicated ourselves to, supposedly. Just like some of them come into the office, and I'll have to say finally, after we've talked about some of the issues between us, that We have to stop and look at each other and love each other enough to suggest and inform the other one with all the energy of our soul that they will love us back enough to listen to what we're going to say. We have to go and find out all the things that Jesus Christ said. We have to believe those things. We have to live according to those things. And one of the things, too, that I have had brought to me, I'll go back to this 14th chapter of 2 Nephi. It'll have to be 164, I believe. After he's talked about angels, did I read all this, Al? I can't remember. Well, let me back up here. Now, there's several things I want to read out.
A verse number there.
Okay. All right, let me start at verse 1 on page 163, and then go from there. And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that you ponder somewhat in your hearts concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way. But behold, why do you ponder these things in your heart? Do you not remember that I said unto you that after you had received the Holy Ghost, you could speak with the tongue of angels? And now, how could you speak with the tongue of angels? Remember, there is not the tongues of angels. It's a singular thing, the tongue of angels. Now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things which ye should do. Wherefore now, after that I have spoken these words unto, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things which ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth my utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men, for they will not search knowledge nor understand great knowledge when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as words can be. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that you ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. Some of the things that we think we have made this covenant, and we don't stop to think that this covenant applies to all the facets and performances in your life. And every day and every hour, night and day, of what you are doing. Yeah, this accuses me just like it does you. We have to realize that that covenant is all inclusive to whatever you think and do. And whatever you think and do, he's going to classify that as a performance to the Lord. Because now you have dedicated your life. Not an 8-hour day. Your life. 24/7. That's the sign you have right there in your forehead, so to speak. You are a follower, a humble follower of Jesus Christ. We need to pray and learn the things. I presume that this kind of gets through to you, that when they say, have faith in Christ, you have to look and say what this is, and whatever Christ said about this particular thing is what I'm supposed to do today. And that doesn't even mean sometimes that you don't have to endure someone else standing there and say, no, that's not the right thing. I'll have to tell you that if you're a lifelong person who tries to dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have that happen to you. And you'll have to decide whether you're going to follow their advice or whether you're going to have to look God in the eye and say, help me to know what the right thing is to do. That's the thing that is humbling to us. We don't always know everything like that. We just do the best we can. And God leaves you unknowing sometimes. He wants you to try to work it out yourself, and that does two things. It shows you that no matter how much you learn, it's never enough to be unerring in the sight of God. And so you need him there holding your hand every day of your life. There's not a time you don't need him. When I say that, it sounds ridiculous. Of course, all I can do is I walk down to the grocery store and get something to eat. Well, what about that car that come whizzing by just as you stepped out in the street? Brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to scare you, but what I'm trying to get you to realize, a lot of time we people read the prophecies that are written in the Bible and Book of Mormon, and they think, well, that can't happen like that. And then they get into a big discussion about that. And they forget the simple, everyday, moment by moment way to behave that Christ asked them to use, no matter where they went or what prophecy you're looking at. This is the hard part. That's why Paul said, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Well, those principles are the foundation that you stand on. We can't just kick that aside. We have to have them with us all the time. And every day of your life, you will be accumulating a little bit more knowledge of what, when somebody says, having faith in Christ. Excuse me for being so emotional every time. I could tell you a lot of stories, and I won't take the time to do that, but it always comes back to me like this. when I walked off of a ship that was going to be put in a salvage yard. I knew I was okay, and the hurricane was over. This is the thing that God gives you as a testimony to help you know that He is there. I know you can't feel the same thing probably that I do when I tell you that, but I do feel like that if the Holy Spirit will help you understand that there will come times in your life when you cannot survive unless He takes you up in His hand and puts you in a safe place. And I want you to understand, too, don't ever forget that He can do that if you need it. There are many ways He does that, but that was so literal that time. It's like it was happening this afternoon. May God bless all of you, that we can all serve Him and realize that our lives, every moment, hang on to the merit of that one who is mighty to save.